Sportsnet 960 Mornings with Boomer in the Morning on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Streaming live at sportsnet.ca/960.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. The Ford Swap Your Ride event is on now, and Canadians across the country are swapping their rides for a Ford. Visit Universal Ford Lincoln today and swap your ride. See dealer for details.
Very pleased to welcome Stephen Brunt to the show.
Stephen Brunt, brought to you by Eastside Kia. The Gear Up and Save event is on. Save $5,000 on a 2014 Kia Sportage SX Turbo and receive no-charge winter tires with your purchase. Visit EastsideKia.ca.
Very disappointed, Steve. I had great intentions to watch your feature on Ornskoldskvik or whatever it is,
but
I have not. I know it's online. There's no excuse, really, and I feel badly for it. But I understand it's great.
Well, it's pretty cool. It's on Sportsnet.ca and probably somewhere else, but. It is a brisk telling of the Ornskoldskvik story. I got to tell you, we had Don Cherry on Primetime Sports last night, who essentially gave me hell for it and said that he would respond to it as though it required a response on Saturday night. So I'm very honored by that. It's not like it's a controversial story. It's just kind of a nice story about a little town in Sweden that cranks out hockey players. But I guess the word Sweden would be the part he's responding to.
Yeah. Could have said Viking, Stephen. Had to go to Ornskoldskvik, didn't you?
It's hilarious when we were over there, and I actually told Don this last night. You know, like four or five times we were interviewing people, and they said, "You know this Don Cherry man?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "He doesn't much like the Swedish hockey players, does he?" Hmm. I said, no, he doesn't. But they all knew him. Like they all knew him.
Yeah.
So you know, Victor Hedman. We interviewed Victor Hedman's dad. Too bad Victor Hedman's hurt because mm-hmm. would have been a bit of a treat to see him. He said he was having a great start to the season. But his dad is this big, jolly guy named Ole Hedman. And Ole had come to Canada to see Victor play, and I guess someone got him a tour of the CBC studios, and then CBC studios. And he was all excited because he got to sit in Don Cherry's chair. And I said to him, you know, he doesn't like the Swedish hockey players. And I said, well, that's okay. So anyway, I look forward to hearing what Don has to say. My sense is that, you know, he's going to claim that North York is actually the greatest hockey factory in the world or something like that.
Well, I was going to say he probably could have saved a lot of money instead of flying to Sweden. You could have just driven to Kingston.
Yeah, Kingston Don's big thing right now is that the reason the Leafs haven't won a Stanley Cup, well, maybe this is an overstatement, but, you know, I guess that overstatement countered with an overstatement. So the reason the Leafs have been crappy forever is because they don't draft enough players from Toronto.
Yeah, I saw that rant.
Yeah. So, like, I'm not, you know, I'm thinking that's probably not totally true. But that's fine.
You haven't gone too deep into the analysis to find out if it's accurate?
I've not done the analysis of every, and I, you know, and we have to decide whether, you know, Markham is Toronto or something. I guess where it ends is Hamilton. I guess no, Hamilton's definitely not Toronto. But you know, they've got some local kids. They have had local kids. I'm just not sure that. But you know, I'll give them credit. You know, talking to them last night. So on a Monday night in October, Don Cherry was on the radio, and then he was going to go out and watch GTHL, which is the minor hockey in Toronto, Greater Toronto Hockey League. He was going to go out and watch some GTHL games last night.
Oh, yeah.
So you can't say the guy doesn't live it, because he lives it.
It's an interesting dynamic between he and McCowan, I would think. Was he live, or was he on the phone?
Yeah, he was on the phone. Yeah,
okay.
On the phone.
Because the room room's not big enough.
Yeah, there's two large people there. You're correct. But, you know, the truth is no one's larger than Don. Like, you know, when he's been in studio the odd time, which he has, you know, he's the star. You know? Bob goes into a supporting role when Don's there.
Not many people will do that to McCowan.
That would be just about, I think that would be it. I think there's one.
Not even you.
Definitely not me. Yeah. No, I'm the amiable sidekick. As your amiable sidekicks know, that's a very important role. That's
very right. Important, Boomer. Remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm kind of the, I'm the Ed McMahon figure.
I don't even know if I want to go there because the story came out yesterday, and you're a guy I'm curious your perspective on it. Again, if we can quickly move past it because we spent a lot of time talking about Ray Rice. But Slavovoynov, very quickly suspended by the NHL yesterday after he was arrested for domestic abuse. I guess just your thoughts in general on the NHL response to this and where it goes from here.
Well, the NHL response is, you know, obviously, you know, it comes in the wake of the the hash that the NFL made of the Ray Rice situation and a bunch of other situations. So it's pretty easy to be, in some ways, it's easy to be the second guy in and get it right after seeing somebody get it really wrong. But the other part of this is that, you know, they have a clause in the collective agreement that makes it easy. Which is a good thing. You know, there's a clause in the collective agreement that says while you are being investigated, if what you are charged with essentially is, you know, bad for the league, bad for the league's image, you can be suspended with pay until we complete our own investigation, and, you know, and again, unstated, while the police complete their investigation. So they had a mechanism for making him go away without having to say, we have to wait for due process here. We have to wait to see what the police say. We have to see whether you're charged, which is a very convenient thing to have in a contract. So, you know, it's they don't have to, so no one has to, there's no argument saying, well, hang on, what if he's not, he didn't do it, you know, which is possible, right? It's possible he's innocent. But because of the way the contract, the collective agreement with the players is written, you don't have to fret over that. You just say, look, you go away for a little while. We're going to keep paying you, and then we'll figure this thing out. It's, you know, a very, very useful. So, again, makes it a bit easier for the NHL. Not saying they, you know, not taking anything away from their swift action and decisive action, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, it's not a debate. No one's going to grieve it. And no one's going to sit back and say that, you know, this isn't fair. The, you know, he hasn't had due process because, you know, the players agreed to something where they could be suspended without due, you know, without the due process of the law being carried out to the end.
We'll move on. World Series tonight, game number one, Giants Royals. I'm curious how this one will play, and part of me doesn't care because I think it's going to be good baseball. But I wonder what the ratings and what the reaction is going to be because there is no really major market. It's not Boston, New York. There's no LA Angels or Dodgers involved. It's kind of small market stuff, and I wonder if the ratings are going to be there. I think the ball's going to be good, but I wonder if anyone's going to care.
Yeah, you know, I think the ratings will be lousy. You know, I think that's but you know, World Series ratings have been deteriorating for years. It's not, you know, baseball is a really strong regional sport in the United States and, you know, and in Toronto, right? And in Canada, if Canada's a region, the Blue Jays get very good ratings nationally, but it's not what it was once upon a time. The World Series is not the Super Bowl. It's not even close. So the ratings won't be good, and everybody will wring their hands and say the World Series isn't what it used to be, and they'll be right. You know, you probably, in theory, I think we had Rob Neyer on from Fox last year who wrote a column, so just give him credit for it, you know, where he made a statistical case that these are the worst two teams ever to play for the World Series.
They are. Neither got 90 wins, Steven.
Yeah, he's right. You know, well, if you extend to a second wild card, you know, eventually that's going to happen, right? You're going to get teams that are sort of middle of the pack-ish, high middle of the pack, who scrape into the playoffs. And, you know, you had one team that, you know, that was the second wild card. You had another team that would have had to go into a playoff game. You know, if we'd been in the old format, it would have been on a playoff for the wild card. So, yeah, they're farther down the food chain than any other, you know, World Series winning team has ever been, and you got two of them. So yeah, they're not great, but they've had, you know, one of them hasn't lost in the postseason, and you know, and the other one has been in two of the last five World Series and won them. So it's going to be, the baseball has been fun. This has been a great baseball. If you're just watching the games as a neutral, it has been a blast. There's been a lot of interesting stuff. Series have been a little short lately, but, you know, I guess that's not the worst thing. You know, Kansas City is a great story. Everybody likes the way they play. You know, I don't think it's the template for other teams in the future, but it's fun while it lasts. And, you know, they could turn into a pumpkin. It's entirely possible here, right? I guess the precedent was, trying to remember the year, I think it's 07 that Colorado played Boston, I think, and came in and were undefeated in the postseason before the World Series. And then they kind of turned into themselves. So I think that is a possibility here. But you've got two teams with, you know, great bullpens. Kansas City plays great defense. They don't, you know, they don't have a great offensive team, but they were a very, you know, very good offensive team in the playoffs anyway. And San Francisco's got a couple of elite offensive players in Posey and Sandoval, and a great bullpen. Probably slightly better starting pitching, I would say. So, you know, kind of a pick'em series between two teams that are, you know, seventh or eighth or tenth best in the majors. You know, that's, I guess, but the World Series is, you know, it's contained within itself. So, you know, it doesn't matter who's not playing. This is who's playing.
Quick thought on just the lawsuit the CHL's facing. Is this just another in a long line of people trying to get more pay for players, or does this have any teeth that will actually work?
I just heard Dave Branch doing a long interview on this on CBC here, and trying to explain away the fact that they don't pay players and making it sound like, you know, they don't make any money in the CHL. You know, there's some teams in the CHL make a lot of money, and you know, and yes, they do have a scholarship system now, which is great, and they do, you know, they put them in billets and they feed them, but essentially they're paying junior hockey players what they paid them in 1968. So. You know, if I look at a team like the one down the road from me in London, Ontario, with the Hunters run, the London Knights, that draws 9,000 people a night into an NHL, a kind of a mini NHL arena, and gets to keep all the profit from that and pays the players $50 a week, you know, it's like the NCAA debate. You know, there's a case to be made here that these guys are being exploited. Now, whether anybody wins that case, I don't know, but it does. People are making money. Players are being paid nothing. Part of the reason they make so much money is because the players are being paid nothing. That doesn't seem quite right to me.
Well, we can relate because we're being paid like we're in 1980.
Yeah. That would be the parallel.
We, too, are being exploited.
That's correct, yes, Stephen.
To the streets, boys.
That's right.
Shut it down.
Give me that guy's number, would you? Thanks, Steve. We'll talk to you later this week.
See you, guys.
Exploitation at its finest. Actually, it was 1968. He was
happens
saying.
To the best of us.
I know a lot of people out there will feel for us having to get up and sit in a room and talk about sports.
And we do have the rest of the day that we have to do so much research and watch sporting events on TV and read the sports section of the paper, mm-hmm. maybe podcast.
Like there's a Flames game tonight. I'm going to have to watch it.
I'm going to have to go. I don't have to pay.
Got to watch it.
There's a meal they give you if you show up at the right time.
I can't come in tomorrow having not watched the game.
Soft drinks and popcorn, but I have to go. I mean, I'm going to go. It's not going to cost me anything.
Yeah.
Let me park for free.
We'll do what you want to talk about in about 20 minutes time, but when we come back, it's the snow show for Lou's. And yes, there is no snow, but you know it's coming. And when it comes, it will be here, it will be plentiful, and it will be time to hit the slopes. Do you hit the slopes?
Yeah, you can hit the slopes.
All right.
I mean, tee it up with the boys.
That's right.
We would say hit the slopes.
That's right. Manny Osborne Parody, Canadian Olympian, will be your guest when we come back for a lose. It'll be the snow show. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Follow the show on Twitter at Boomer and Rhett. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. The Ford Swap Your Ride event is on now, and Canadians across the country are swapping their rides for a Ford. Visit Universal Ford Lincoln today and swap your ride. See dealer for details.
9:25 on your Tuesday morning. We've got what you want to talk about at about 20 to 10. It is a Flames game day. Tampa Bay in town. After allowing the Oilers their first victory of the season last night up QE2, this is the first of five in a row at home for the Flames. It is also time for the snow show brought to you by Lou's Performance Center. Unmatched technical ski expertise. Visit www.lous.ca. We'd love to welcome to the program a very special guest, a man who was in Sochi last year, Manny Osborne Parody. Morning, Manny.
Morning.
How are you?
I'm okay. I just finished sprints in the in the gym, so I'm feeling kind of under the weather, but other than that, I'm okay.
We'll understand if you're short on breath. Thanks so much for taking some time out. Where are you in the cycle here? Because last year's obviously the big year where everyone's paying attention, all eyes on Sochi and the Olympic Games, and yet here we are with the ski season around the corner. How long have you been at it?
I have been 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off the last 8 weeks or so, 2 weeks on snow in Europe, and then 2 weeks home here in Calgary. We've stayed in Europe just because the winter in South America was a little touch and go this year. So that's kind of where we've been at right now. And presently we're on a 3 week workout cycle here in Calgary at Winsport, and then we'll be headed off to Colorado as soon as they start blowing snow.
Now you say we. How big is the team? And I imagine do you have the guys and the gals as the same group when you do go over and train in the off season?
No, actually, it's just the guys. The girls did come over to Zermatt. We crossed paths for about 3 days, and then when we were in Pitstall, Austria. We crossed over for about four, but other than that, no. It's generally just with the men. And when I talk about guys, Ben Thompson's on the team. Jan Hudek's been skiing really well this year, and then we have two new young guys, Roger Thompson from Whistler, and Brody Seeger from North Vancouver, that will probably be joining our team this year.
Well, that's pretty neat. You're a North Van guy, so you got the connection there, and I know you spend a bunch of time in Invermere, and that's where Thompson's from. So you should be tight with all these guys.
Totally. And I forgot to mention Morgan Pretty also. He's kind of doing GS, but he'll be with the speed guys for the most part as well.
So where have you been in Europe, and what's that like going over there when it's the summer, and yet there you are trying to find some glaciers to ski on?
I would rather train in Europe in the summer than go to South America, just for the fact that we get sunlight. you're skiing in the summer, but you still get summer hours. You come down from the glacier, and it's warm. Where you go to South America, I mean, we go right after August long, and you have such a great weekend here, August long weekend, and then you go down to minus 10 and getting dark at 5 o'clock. It's a little depressing. So Europe in the summer is more up my alley, especially as I'm getting older. And we just, it's easier for us because then we don't have to bring all our skis. As a downhill team, we're constantly running in skis. You know, we may run in 50 to 60 pairs of downhill and super G skis in a summer, and training in Europe, we just don't have to lug those all the way down to South America.
I can't, you know what, you speak to something that just sort of that got me thinking. I mean, if you spend all winter on ski hills in the mountains and then you go to South America in the summer for their winter, I mean, you just wouldn't see much sun at all in your life, never mind just in training, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just my shirts and my t-shirts don't get to see much sunlight. I mean, I'm just wearing hoodies and jackets all year.
Fair enough. How far away are we from the start? Because I know that the one at Lake Louise is always very close to the start of the season. Is there anything that leads up to that, or is that when you're shot out of the cannon?
For the downhill speed guys, that's the first race, November 29th and 30th, I believe. But there is a race this weekend, a GS race in Solden, Austria, which a couple of our younger guys will be competing in. And then they'll go straight up to Levi, Finland for a slalom race. But those are just kind of teaser races. They are World Cups and count for points. But the winter start is our Lake Louise race here at home.
We're chatting with Manny Osborne-Parody, over 15 top 10 finishes on the World Cup Olympian from last year in Sochi. Take us back to a juncture in your career that could not have been easy. You had a major injury, I believe, in January of 2011. It cost you a bunch of time, but the results really didn't start to get back to normal for you even a little longer. How big was the injury, and how long did it take before you really felt like Manny again?
Yeah, I mean, it was a broken leg and a blown knee, and it actually just happened at a really bad week. I fell through a loophole, literally, through our system at the time, where if I hadn't raced that race, I wouldn't have raced more than half the season, and I would have kept my world ranking for as long as I was injured. But because I raced one more race that season and I didn't fall into the next year, I didn't get to keep injury status. So when I came back, I was ranked out of the top 100 in the world, which is essentially like starting all over again. So like a junior. So it's taken me 3 years to get back in competitively back in the top 30, but I'm here, and it's nice because in speed, I mean, you're able to do that. I know a bunch of slalom guys kind of got stuck in that loophole too, and none of them were able to return back to skiing. So it's taken me, 3 years now to get back to form. But I feel we've had some good coaching changes this year, and I'm excited to be where I'm at with my skiing.
If my math is correct, you're 30 years old. How do you feel physically? Because you mentioned it. I mean, the results almost disappeared for 3 years. An injury devastating to begin with. Now 30. Where is that in ski life? Because I'm not going to pretend I know whether that's old, young, or in your prime.
You know, it's funny. Not a lot of guys make it past 30 in skiing. But all the best guys are over 30. So there is a turnover there where you kind of just hit the seniority stage of your career, and you know the race courses and you know every turn, and it just becomes a lot easier. as long as you can stay injury free and make it kind of over the 30 years old. For a sponsor package a couple years back, I averaged out the downhill overall winners for the last 10 years, and the age average was 33.4.
Wow.
And there's probably only in the top 15 in the world, there's probably only six guys that are over 30. So it's those guys are definitely a dominating factor. So it's good to be over 30. Obviously it's taken me a long time to get here, but I know the courses really well, and it's to my advantage.
Tell us about how the season sort of flows, because you're going to start at Lake Louise. Then where do you head? Is there hectic parts? Are there breaks? Are there portions that you traditionally have success in that you look forward to?
Yeah, traditionally the end of the season is I've kind of always been beginning of the season, end of the season, the middle of the season. I just haven't gotten my best results. This year is a little bit unique because it's a world championship year, which happens every 2 years. And it's happening in Beaver Creek, Colorado. So normally, world championships are over in Europe or wherever. And we don't have any time to go home during that part of the season. And it's usually a very long portion of the season, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 8 weeks on the road, where this year we'll have 4 days prior to World Champs and 4 days after World Champs to come home and regenerate. So, or regeneration period. So that's a little nicer. It's in February too. So it's right in the heart of our season. So I'll actually only have to go back after World Championships for four races and then a little bit of ski testing at the end of the year before we go to national championships. And that's the end of our season, middle of March.
Tell me about just that whole thing where you are going to be in Colorado for that. Do you adjust your training trying to peak in February, or is that getting a little too fine? Are you just looking to be ready for the start of the season and strong and healthy?
In skiing, it's really hard to try and peak for a certain point. It really depends on your confidence. We've always said in ski racing, confidence trumps ability every day of the week. It trumps physical ability, everything, mental ability, and your confidence just needs to be up. So whatever you can do to create confidence, to fool your body and mind into being confident, is really what you need to do to be successful. Other than that, there's nothing really special. Colorado is a unique place because it's so high up, the race course, I think we start just over 10,000 feet, and it's such a dry area. A lot of us will change boots, and most of us won't ski on the same ski boots that we would normally ski on for the rest of the season. Probably a much less aggressive boot. Normally our boots are a couple degrees outwards, and I may go to a neutral boot and maybe a little bit softer for Colorado conditions.
What about that changes, man? Why would you change? I understand you're saying that there's altitude and moisture. How does that change your setup with a boot?
Colorado snow is very hero snow, so it's aggressive, and having a dumbed down ski setup is just a lot easier. You get your edge won't dig in too much or as much into the snow, and you'll just have more control when it's a very aggressive snow. And you lay an edge, you might not be able to get out of that edge very easily. And that's something that it's not quick, especially if you're not on the right line. So, it's something that a lot of guys will try, and that I'm sure most of the field will change up their boot setup. So a lot of that will be preseason going down there and figuring out what we think is fast on those snow conditions.
Interesting. Finally, take us back to, last winter, Sochi. How do the games stack up against other memorable moments in your career, and just the experience of that event versus a standard World Cup? Can't be close, right?
No. It's a totally different experience. The Olympics are just, you have a full team of Canadians, and every sport gets together. And, I've been doing this long enough now that most of the people on the Canadian team are friends of mine, and especially with the wind sport training facilities here, a big number of those athletes are always training here together anyways. So it's a totally different experience, especially this year. It was summer conditions. not totally different than Vancouver, but you know, with palm trees and a lot more humid, it felt like it was summer. It was hard to wrap your head around the fact that there was snow on the ground. You know, Sochi wasn't, they weren't my best results. Torino were definitely my best Olympics thus far. But as an experience, I would definitely rank it as my highest experience. I thought that they were run really well. I thought the Canadian Olympic Committee stepped up their game and did such a tremendous job with the OES Olympic Excellence Series meetings and stuff with all the athletes prior, and just making us feel more at home and more capable of winning. You know, that we had a huge support crew and everything was just so well organized at these games. So I think that just made it that much more memorable and that much more exciting.
It's fascinating, and we look forward to following you this season. What's right around the corner here in the next coming weeks?
I'm off to Vancouver this afternoon. We've got our galas. We're in Montreal and Toronto next week, and then one more week of training here in Calgary, and we're off to Colorado until they start blowing snow at the Panorama.
Unbelievable. Well, thanks so much for taking some time to chat with us. A real pleasure, and we look forward to a successful season for you. I like that thought about, you know, the experience, confidence, and the success of guys over 30, even though not everyone's over 30. We hope this is the season it all clicks for you.
Thanks a lot, Ryan. Thanks.
All right. That is Manny Osborne-Parody. Pretty cool stuff as they get set to been training for a while. As you said, most of the summer over in Europe, coming back to do some dry land in Calgary, back to Europe on glaciers. Snow Show, again, brought to you by our great pals at Luz, where it is, of course, unmatched technical ski expertise, easy for me to say. Luz.ca, www.lous.ca. You want to talk about those boots, how he goes back to neutral instead of the outward lie. That Lou would be a guy that could actually hang in that conversation and talk about that stuff. Unmatched technical ski expertise, indeed. We'll have Lou back on in a couple weeks. Also, the snow show coming up in town. In terms of the trade show that kicks off the season, that in early November. And we'll hear from the good folks at Sunshine in the coming weeks as well. So thanks to Luz for sponsoring Snow Show. You can find them just west of Crowchild off Memorial Trail. Can't miss Memorial Drive. Can't miss it. Okay, we'll come back with what you want to talk about. It is a Flames game day, and text line is wide open at 960-960 on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. The Ford Swap Your Ride event is on now, and Canadians across the country are swapping their rides for a Ford. Visit Universal Ford Lincoln today and swap your ride. See dealer for details.
Going to be a busy one here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan today. Jim Rome coming up. Hockey Central at noon with Steinberg live from the Saddle Dome. Right into the big show, right into Flames warm-up, and right into the Flames and Lightning. 7 o'clock start.
Where else would you be on a game day?
I don't know.
You get a locked on 960, they're down at the Dome, we do it from there.
We'll have some lineup details from Steinberg coming up in Hockey Central at noon.
So why would he be so upset?
I just read your text.
What are you doing, buddy?
Don't be upset. Think the Flames will sign Connor McDennis?
That's the one. Yeah.
Again, if we're going to do this, let's have some good stuff. You
let's
guys are better than this.
Stick to things we know.
Let's really get it going. I don't know what that is. Does homework mean you do the work at home, or is there something I'm not sure of? Now, this person is referring to a tweet that I put out last night.
Mm.
My son, last night, there's been an issue about him not just, he's kind of shirking his responsibility as far as being a student.
So he's following in the old man's footsteps.
So I'm trying to press him on getting his homework done. So I said, hey, you got homework? He's like, no.
No homework here, no.
Go get your backpack. I want to see your stuff. And then he gets that look like he just dropped one in his drawers. Well, I don't have that. Yeah, get the backpack, bring it over. So he literally has in his book, and I guess because the teacher tells them to write this stuff down at the end of class.
Yeah.
Math test tomorrow, math homework tonight. I'm like, so where's your homework? Well, it's at school. It's at school.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, why didn't you bring it home to do your homework?
home, home.
Well, the teacher never said we had to.
It's not called schoolwork, son.
Did she tell you to write this in your book? Yeah. I think that's her telling you to bring homework home. Well, I didn't know I had to bring it home. Son, that's what homework is.
That's why it's called home.
That's why
work.
It's called homework. Oh, I didn't know. Oh, God. This kid is just going to kill me. Now I'm doing homework. Every night I got homework.
You do?
Yeah. Multiplication, division.
Your kid's got homework.
I'm doing arrays. I don't even know what it is. It's awful. Boom, your violin stories make me smile. Thanks for making my day. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you're welcome.
You take joy in another man's pain? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, that's great. Now I'm looking really, really forward, as opposed to, you know, I don't know, hanging out at the MGM Grand in a suite, getting up at 3:45 to talk, to argue with Pinder.
Of course.
Would be much better.
Yeah. Some stupid college hockey.
No, you're right. If they didn't play McGrattan, they'd be cup favorites. That's what I want to do. Instead of, you know, going to
Circus.
Going to the Wynn Steakhouse.
Oh, that's a good steakhouse.
Crab legs?
Kokomo's.
We'll take a day here.
We'll be back in 20 hours or so.
We'll be back tomorrow. It's going to be great. We'll talk about that Lightning Flames game. You can bet on that.
Betting, that's going to help you get out of these problems.
We're going to get we'll get to that. Yeah, I won't be doing any betting. Could do that in Vegas. Can't do that here.
Might be the source of your problems. All those pools you've been doing with haven't done very well.
Maybe there's someone out there that
is keeping track?
No, I'm thinking would maybe like to send a guy to Vegas.
Maybe loan you a couple $100,000.
Yeah, maybe there's somebody out there that, I don't know. You turn 40, it can be a tough thing.
40?
All a guy wants to do is go to Vegas.
I thought you said 50.
Play some three-card poker, eat some crab legs, have some steak, have a massage, sit in a hot tub.
Ew.
Get stupid drunk. That's all a guy wants.
Not the whole life, just once a year.
Just once.
Maybe twice.
Just once in your life.
You only turn 40 once.
That's right. No, it's fine. I'll hang out here with Pinder.
With me.
Life. Have a good day, everybody.